All right, ready?
I'm Meredith.
I'm Elise. And this is your 20s.
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Let's get it.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to This Is Your 20s.
Yes. Hello. Wow, that was terrible.
You good, Meredith? Are you okay?
No, I'm really tired. It's a Sunday evening.
It's a Sunday evening. We're college students, but we are getting the job done.
I'm just
done.
Hungover. We were explaining this.
Yeah.
Hungover as fuck.
Definitely.
I mean, Jesus.
Anyway, welcome back to the show. This is your fucking 20s. See?
Well, yeah,
you're hungover. But this is a show to help you throughout your 20s, any obstacles, any career issues, anything in your 20s, relationships. Yeah. We talk about literally everything and anything in your 20s.
Striving for excellence in all things.
Yes.
And we hope to be as broad as humanly possible because there is so much shit to discuss while you're in your 20s.
Yes.
And we don't want to confine ourselves to any
one topic.
Yeah. So.
And we have a wonderful human in the room today. We have Mr. Dante Stewart.
Yo.
Thank you for coming on today. So a little bit about Dante. I'll let him tell more about him. But he is the co-founder and CFO of Underscore. Which is just so
LLC.
Badass. LLC Underscore. Right. and obviously, we're going to be talking about that today and lots of other things. But Dante, go ahead. What do you do? Like, what are you all about? What's your background?
Yeah,
everything.
So, yeah, I'm Dante. I'm a senior at DePaul, double majoring in computer science and Japanese studies. Born and raised in Brooklyn. So making my way out to the small town of Greencastle.
No kidding.
Tiny little town.
But yeah, I'm involved in like a lot on campus. I'm involved in admissions. I work there. I'm involved in student government. I do have a creative side. I like to dance a lot, so I co-founded a step team here at DePaul, and also am the creative director for Excel Dance Team on DePaul's campus. And yes. I'm a connections mentor for first-year students of color, so I do a lot.
Yeah. Do you have any time for yourself to just, like... exist to not be doing something?
Yeah, I mean, my Saturdays.
Yeah.
There you go.
Friday nights, you know, there are pockets where I can, you know, sort of isolate myself and just breathe.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I'm at my best when I'm moving.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. Me and Dante met freshman year on the Excel dance team.
Sure did.
And ever since, like, I've met Dante, he's always just been doing so much shit. And he's just a strong leader on this campus. So we're really excited to have you today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's an honor.
So tell us about Underscore. Like, when... Did this idea form? I know you do it with some people back home, your friends back home. Tell us all about it. What is it? What is it about?
The origin story? You want the origin
story? I want the whole story.
So, yeah, the origin story, it's actually a pretty funny one. I founded it with a couple of guys from high school who I went to high school with. We've known each other since, like, elementary school, really. So,
wow.
Like, sixth, seventh grade, we started meeting each other.
That's awesome.
And we were really tight as a crew. And, you know, we grew up, we all have, like, our own creative passions. Two of my other co-founders, the CEO, Eddie Hayes, and the COO, Josh, they're both, like, musicians in their own right. Eddie raps and sometimes does music. But we all act. We're multidisciplinary artists, right? And going into college, we, you know, all felt like, oh, we got to give up our creative passion because it's time to get a job, right? Like, you got to start thinking about
Dante, you don't know this, but we literally just had an episode on this. Like, the one that airs for season two opener is called Making Your Dreams Happen Without a Degree. Like, we literally just talked about that, so that's crazy. Anyway.
Well, and pursuing alternative career routes so that you can do what you love.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to always be a side hustle.
So, yeah, that was basically the attitude that we had going into college. But then we got to college, and, like, they're all in different places. Josh is at Bowdoin. Eddie's at Trinity College in Connecticut. Julian, who was also a part of the team but left, is now at Brown University. So,
okay.
Sheesh.
Yeah, like, we all went to our different places, and I came to DePaul, realized I was also surrounded by talented individuals who were like-minded and was just like, you know, I'm really only getting this degree so I can get a job. And when we got back for the summer after my freshman year, I was just like, yo, like, my boy came up to me and was like, guys, we got to, like, find a way to make our networks work. Like, how do we get money? and, you know, connect people to other opportunities and jobs. And he was like, I want to start this team with you guys called Underscore, because that was actually our, like, motto. Like, we didn't want to have a name to our group or anything like that, because, you know, we were still making that name for ourselves. Yeah. Hence the tagline, make a name for yourself.
Ah, I like that.
Yeah, right? Like, so it's like, we're not tied to any label, really. It's just, we're underscoring the fact that we're individuals who are creative in our own right and just want to bring our own unique spin to this existence. And so, yeah, summer in New York. It started on an Instagram page.
Wow.
And how it started was we were like, all right, we got to find like 10 people that we want to feature. And so the best way for us to get that growth engine was, you know, we were like, if you guys want to get featured on our Instagram page, just bring us 5 followers and then you get featured for the day. Fast forward like 200 plus like features later. And then we started getting some real gig opportunities to present to these creatives so that they could actually make money off of that. Got our website built. And yeah, we started throwing some offline events, had a couple of parties, had an underground rap tournament. That was pretty cool.
Wow.
Because there was a pop-up shop in it as well. So people were, you know, buying black and also supporting emerging artists. And that's really the crux of Underscore. It's just like supporting, you know, the artists that look like us, the creatives that look like us, that work on the underground, don't, you know, making their hustle throughout this industry. Because, I mean, the reason why Underscore exists is because all of these platforms are, like, super saturated, oversaturated with, like, lifestyle content. Like, you know, there's hella meme pages on, like, Instagram. Mm-hmm. Facebook is just a cesspool of information. And then Twitter, you know, you got to hope to get viral just to get noticed, right?
Absolutely.
Like, nobody's...
Same with YouTube, too.
Yeah, I mean, and YouTube, like, you is crazy.
Yeah.
And so no creative is going on LinkedIn because, you know, they're not really finding the creative jobs like that, right? Like, nobody, you don't go to LinkedIn to show your creative style. That's more of a business oriented blue, white collar tie, whatever you want to call it. So we were just like, yo, if nothing like that exists, we got to create that platform for folks. And so that's why Underscore is being built, because it's going to be a space for creatives and it's built by creatives.
So. That is so dope.
Love it.
Wait, so essentially it's like, from what I understand, I mean, obviously you aren't LinkedIn and you don't want to be like, we're like LinkedIn, but like same concept. So the networking aspect, but
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. Exactly. True. But the professional, the creative professional. So like the person who's, that's their full-time job and you're not just like compartmentalizing your life essentially, which I think that's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that. There really
is. I literally can't think of one thing that's like that. Like, it is a genius concept.
Our goal is to eradicate the concept of the starving artist. That should be something that, like, you know, you shouldn't have to, like, suffer, you know, to just create art.
To do what you want to do with your life.
Do what you want to do. And art influences everything. Like, everything, since the beginning of time, we needed creatives to do anything. Like, architecture, creatives.
Yeah.
Music, creatives.
Yeah.
Videos, entertainment. Like, entertainment is built by creatives. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're not the ones. They're always getting the short end of the stick. You know?
Agree.
It's always the corporations and the labels that are getting the larger cuts. Yeah. And we're trying to change. We're trying to revolutionize what that looks like in terms of agency for the creative and making that brand, you know, not an entity, but the person themselves.
Right.
Right.
And I think also with, you said streaming services are so saturated. It's so true. Any single person, any kid can make music and put it on.
Like, not any, good music though.
Right, exactly. That's why, that's the thing. Like, any person can do it. Like, I think it's great because anyone can, like, express themselves the way they want
Absolutely.
To and put it out there for the world. But the fact that people need to know that they're doing that if that's their passion, and someone is there to back them up and someone is there to support them and help support them, and like, that's really cool.
And yeah, it's like, it's like a double-edged sword in that sense, because while, you know, there are people that can express themselves, there are actually people out there that are trying to make a living off of their craft, you know. And it's hard even nowadays, you know, like if you're looking for beats or something like that, or you're looking for a photographer and you go on Instagram, you put it up on your story and you just pray someone sees it within like 24 hours. But odds are, how many times have you done that and actually had something follow through off of that, you know? Or how many people have actually swiped up and said, yeah, I know photographers, but then all of a sudden everybody knows a photographer,
right?
When it's like person-to-person contact.
Well, so I'm curious too, like, is there a way that you vet certain people out of like being able to post on this? Because obviously you don't want to like rob people of the opportunity to be able to use underscore and use it as a way to network themselves. But at the same time, you don't want to oversaturate your platform either, and you don't want it to just be like for the person who's, you know, making beats on their baby piano in the basement. Like, you don't want it, you know, like, I mean, like, is there a level of kind of
GarageBand?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Do you verify that in any way? Or
yeah,
like,
so there's definitely
work?
Like a, I mean, I feel like the way we've built the platform, it's kind of filtered itself out from those that are not serious about, you know, their craft, if they're just doing it on some like expression type stuff. But because we don't, creatives can't post anything on our website as it stands right now. And,
okay.
But when the app gets developed, how that's going to work is like the avenue is sort of going to be the place where you can see all of the creative content for like built by creatives or, you know, developed by creatives. And so, yeah, we're technically I wouldn't call it the gatekeeper, but we definitely filter out a lot of the things that we do, especially when it comes to job opportunities. People come up to us and they're like, we need a videographer. So we'll look in our database and we'll vet through different things that videographers have. And we're like, okay, this one doesn't have a website. This one doesn't even have a portfolio.
Right.
So we're just going to X them out.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's not to say that we're just leaving them dry. Like, we're also underscore is meant like to help you make a name for yourself.
Yeah.
So we're going to be teaching classes like what it means to build a website. Why do you need to build a website? How does building a portfolio look like as a creative? Like understanding what your rates are, what the market rate is for creatives that are doing things in your discipline. Right.
Yeah. Like, right. Because I know so many people who want to do something so bad that they have no idea where to start.
Yeah.
I always talk about my little brother, so if he's listening, I'm sorry, I love you. But my little brother, for example, just got into school for fashion design in Cincinnati. And I'm like, awesome, that's great, but I know he can do that career without a degree. You know what I mean? I know he could go and network and like make it in that career, but he has no idea where to start, so he's going to college. You
heard it here first. The institutions are dying. Technology is going to be the thing that destroys institutionalized industry. Like,
no, I gotta ask. Though,
I agree.
Do you like that, or do you think that's?
I mean,
what do you think about that?
I feel like it's very exciting to think about because it definitely gives a lot. When I think about it, I think about like really old times when people were just like trading for goods, right? Like if you were a farmer and you could make some really good cows, you were doing a good job raising them cows. And so you had your neighbor next to you who also was really good at like
selling beans.
Exactly. So now he's like, bro, I'll give you some cows if you give me some beans.
Yeah.
And like that wasn't a bad thing, right? Like
right.
people were making a living off of that. And civilization was still survived. So I think it's gonna be a really interesting thing to look at, especially when you think about how technology plays a role in it. I do still believe in some institutions, though, just for the sake of the technique. Like, you got to go to school to learn the craft, like the technique and stuff like that. But I think there needs to be a balance of like theory and practice, right?
I like that,
because
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The practice is where you're actually
getting that
retaining
on.
It, and right, like you're like, oh, okay, maybe if I tried it this way, it'll stick better, or
you
know. But the theory is where you're learning like the process of things and sort of just the rules, but. You know, you got to learn the rules if you want to break them the right way.
Yeah.
Ooh. I love that.
I like that.
Yeah.
So I want to know, too. I mean, you talked about how you jump in and you learn as you go, because that's definitely what we've been doing with this podcast. I mean, we just kind of started and we're like, oh, fuck it. Like, let's try it, you know, and we're learning as we go along. How did you start? Did you guys just were like, let's jump in? Or did you have like a solid game plan? Like, how was it developed from the ground up?
So from the ground up, well, my boy came to me and was just like, I want you on the team because I have a financial literacy background. So I understand what it takes to like, you know, budget and like handle expenses and stuff. Hence why I'm the money guy. but when it came to just doing it, we were just like, all right, let's just get the page up first. And once we got the page up, we were like, okay, now this is getting a little real. And so our game plan was just to get creatives, because if we're about creatives, we got to find creatives out there. And so from there it really was in its beginning just a page like that we just featured,
like Instagram.
Just an Instagram page where we just featured, you know, one person every day. And then we got burnt out because we're like, we're actually running through our network a little too fast if we just keep featuring someone every day. So then we switched it to like every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And once we got a certain amount of followers, we were just like, we were really figuring it out as we went along.
As you go. That's great to hear, though, because like a lot of people, like I said, just don't have no idea where to start. And they're scared of starting because they're scared of failing. No. But how do you know you're going to fail if you don't even start?
And trust me, the failure is the best success, because it's better to know that like what you're it's better to know what's not working, because then you can be like, okay, why didn't that work and how can we get it to work? You know, versus thinking about the what ifs of it all. Like, what if we tried it? Like, no, just do it.
Just do it. Well,
especially like at this age, like this is your 20s. This is the time in your life where you have the opportunity to take the most risk before you are and not saying that everyone's going to follow this life path, but you know, before the majority of us end up having kids and having a family and setting down and paying bills and all these different things. You know, this is the only time in your life where you can do this, and like you can fail, and chances are you're gonna have to a safety net to push you back up. And so I just love the concept of just jumping in with like jumping in full force and figuring it out as you go. Because if there's one thing I've learned, just even from like internship opportunities and just people in general, is all the people that you think have it together, that you're like, oh, I want to be like them.
No, they're figuring it out.
Oh my God, they're figuring out too. They just like fake it till you make it, you know? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I've never like believed in that statement more until this year of my life. I'm so serious. I'm like, fake it till you make it, whatever. Yes, you need to have the foundation laid. Theory is great, but in practice, I mean, like, you're not going to jump in and do it if you don't just fucking do it.
Right.
I mean, like,
at some point, anything doesn't just become a professional. Like, they train and they work on it. Yeah.
But the problem is, too, we live in a society where social media is, like, highlighting the fact that, you know, all these people have this, that, you know, landed the dream job or landed this. And I read a really cool LinkedIn post the other day that was saying, like, yeah, before you see all that and decide to compare yourself to the person who has that dream job that you wanted, remember, like, the 18 times that they failed before they finally got that job, you know? So it's like, I don't know. Sorry, that was a little bit of a tangent, but
it's true. It was a good tangent, though. Like, no, for real. Because, like, honestly, I think, and that's why I was never really worried about this when I started the company with my friends. Because, you know, we were just like, the worst thing that happens is that it doesn't work out while we're in college.
Right.
Like,
and then what?
We still get our degrees. All
right. You're still on the right path. Yeah.
If the worst comes to worst, then we just have to go find a job and, you know, suck it up.
Yeah.
Or like try again. But thankfully, it's working out. So I haven't looked for a job. I'm going to be doing this full time.
Wow. That's so dope. First of all, congrats. Like, yeah, that's so, a round of applause.
Yeah. Now that's where the anxiety is coming in, because it's like, holy crap, we got to make money like steady, because this is going to be my living. But
pressures are high.
Yeah. But honestly, pressure makes diamonds. So
I love that.
If I'm not starving for it, you know, it's not going to work out. And honestly, I think that's the most important thing about being an entrepreneur, especially as a student. Like right now, like I call myself a full-time student, because it's like the difference between being an entrepreneur and a student is, an entrepreneur, you still have deadlines. It's just that nobody's checking you on those deadlines but you.
Like, you are your own boss.
You are your own boss.
That's so,
like,
badass.
Like if I stop working, the company stops operating.
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
You know, so, and it's also like realizing, yeah, I can actually work outside of a 9-to-5. Like I work best when everybody else is asleep. And I also have insomnia, so.
And figure out what works for you.
Exactly. So it'll be like 2 or 3 a.m. Nothing's going on social media. All of my friends are asleep, and I'm just up doing market research for Underscore and stuff like that. Go. So.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like the side hustle. The moment the side hustle becomes your main thing, like that's.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I'm excited.
It's amazing, but it's also scary.
It is scary.
Like, and I don't mean to be like, oh, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. But like what you said about having to be your own boss, like that's so true. And I've seen a lot of people, and I think it's so amazing that people have this entrepreneurial mindset and are like trying to build their own lives and do this like for their own career and make it a full-time thing. A full-time gig. But you do have to be a certain type of person to be able to do that.
I
mean, you have to be on your shit. You have to have good time management skills.
It takes a really strong amount of motivation and self-discipline.
Yeah, to motivate yourself. And I think, too, if you haven't learned that yet, which I think you do kind of get in school, and not everyone does, but a lot, that's definitely something I've learned in college, is just how to keep all these, you know, plate spinning at the same time.
Yes.
Like, I think that's such a valuable skill to have. But if you can combine those skills that you, like, again, in theory that you have through college, but, you know, put it to practice when you're actually doing what you want to be doing, you know, your passion becomes your livelihood.
Yeah.
I think is the absolute dream.
But that is the dream.
I don't think people see the behind the scenes work that goes into that type of lifestyle.
Yeah, but sleepless nights.
But honestly, it's not about, I think it shouldn't be on them to see that, because it's like, if you're watching, then you're not doing.
Hated every second of it, and I was like, I cannot do this for the rest of my life. I don't know why I was at an insurance company, because I'm a communications major, but I literally, like, I found Gary Vee also. He's a big influence in my life. And I was just like, fuck this. I'm going to come up with something and I'm going to make it happen. And I was like, literally that day, made a doc and said, this is your 20s. Boom, 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 boom. And I like, and I was like, here it is. That's the first step. So the first step is, whenever you think of an idea, write it down, because you have no idea where it could go. Write it down.
Well, I think not being afraid to, like, this is a big thing for me. I hate to admit it, but not being afraid of what people are going to say or people are going to think.
Man.
Which is hard. Yeah. I mean, like, some people are truly, like, I think Elise is one of those people that's like, fuck it. I couldn't give a fuck. Whereas me, I'm definitely like, okay, I give some fucks. And, like, I worry about what my family thinks and what, you know, because you hear 18 different opinions. 18 is like my number today. Have you noticed that? Different opinions talking about, like, oh, well, you need to be doing this and make sure you do this first and this. And it's hard not to take all of that with some advice, because, you know, I have parents that have it figured out and are generally, you know, successful. But also, like, taking that with a grain of salt, I think, again, that's a hard balance for some people to find when they're just starting out. Yeah. And then that stops them altogether from even giving themselves a chance, which I think is a really sad fact, honestly. So
That's the thing, is you just need to, like, do it for yourself. Like, you ultimately, you are living one life, and who are you going to live it for, yourself or, like, someone else? That's the thing also Gary Vee has, like, taught me, is that even if they're family members, if they're toxic in your life and they're not helping you get to where you want to be, cut them out. Like, they're family. Yeah, you still love them at the end of the day, but you need to do what's best for you at this point.
That's a good point.
It's also, I think that falls into friendships as well, and that's something that I had to learn, like, as an entrepreneur in college. Like, there are times where I really had to distance myself from certain people, because I realized that I was hanging around with people that were saying, I want to do things, or I wish I could instead, and then that was slowing me down. And so once I started to work with people who were saying, like, oh, let's work on this
tomorrow, let's plan it right, like, now, yeah,
I have something for you that we can do. Like, do you hear the difference? Like, the wants and the I wish, or the why can't I something, or versus the, hey, let's actually experiment or try to do this, or, like, I have something that I think could be of use to you. Yeah. And
I love that.
It's like you said, there's people who watch people do things and there's people who do things.
Yeah.
Like,
and that was a rough thing for me, because it's like, I really like the people that I was hanging around, but it was just like, you know, our motivations were different and we just didn't align. And that's not to say that they won't have that thing for them. It's just that where they're at right now and where I'm at right now is just in two completely different places.
Yeah, so it comes at different times for everyone. Think of, like, us freshman year. Like, did you ever think you'd be in your shoes freshman year? Like, no. Like, along this journey we call college, you know, like, we have grown so much, and some people just grow at a different pace, and you can't do anything about that.
I probably would have bet money I would have been this committed to something, but I didn't think I was going to be where I am right now. At all.
Same.
Definitely growth.
Well, and I think what you say about, it's not like you didn't like those people.
Like,
they're just not doing anything for you. And in your 20s, if you are one of those people that is like, I need to push my life forward, I'm going to grind and I'm going to get this done, you do have to start looking at the people that you're surrounding yourself with.
Yeah.
And if you notice that they're, you know, maybe they're great people, but are they pushing you? Like, are they challenging you? Yeah. Are they
learning from them?
Are you learning from them, or are they the ones, like, that
leeching off of you.
Eating off of you, yeah. And
are
that's your energy.
Supporting you? Like, there have been some people.
Hey.
Yeah.
You're talking real about that support. Because support really shows itself when you're asking folks for, like, A, to support your business. Like, it's, I'm also frustrated as a student, because, like, I get it. You know, we're all college students just trying to make a living. This, that, and the third. But also, I would appreciate if people trusted that I'm actually running a real business here.
A real fucking business.
Yeah, like, it's not, like, just for show. Like,
right.
Forget a resume. I'm checking resumes now. You know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, my God.
It's about a situation where it's, like, I need the support because, you know, you say you want to support people that look like you, and here's a person who's an example of that. Mm-hmm. But when I'm asking you to share these things or to buy some of the merchandise, It's always back talk. Like, what is preventing them from supporting me versus supporting someone that they barely know?
Right. Know? Like, we were talking about this yesterday. Like, we were talking about male and female beauty standards, and then Tyson was talking about how, like, he's always buying, constantly buying new shoes, new products to some guy who has billions of dollars already.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, are you supporting, you know, small businesses and people what that are, like, close
your friends.
To you?
Your friends.
Trying to make something of themselves.
Yeah. Yep.
You definitely figure out who is, like, real in your life.
Oh,
in your
absolutely.
Corner, and who's just saying that they're
who's just
your
a fan.
Corner.
I call them fans when they say that, because I'm just like, all right, like, you're not supporting me, but once things pop, I know you're going to be the person who's going to be like, yeah, man, I was telling him to, like, do that. And, like, I was saying that you're doing great, bro. I'm watching you. I'm like, okay, keep watching then, because you're not getting anything else out of that.
Yeah,
you feel me?
Like, exactly, yeah.
But the people that support, I definitely, like,
yeah.
If you're watching this or listening to this, like, I know your support. I appreciate it. And it'll come back to you tenfold.
Exactly. That's for people listening to this podcast right now, too. Yeah. Like, if you're listening to this episode, you support Dante. You know, like, thank you for listening. Like, that's real. You're a real one.
Yeah, you support the people that you go to school with. Because obviously, like, right now we're starting with a lot of, like, DePaul listeners. And we have a couple of friends who are like, I love this episode at this minute. Shout out to Ramesh Khan.
Yes, like, it is so amazing.
I love
amazing.
This quote here. And it's like, damn, I didn't even catch that.
But
so
you know
thank you.
And,
like,
that kind of feedback is so invaluable. Like,
yes.
It makes you know what to do next time.
Absolutely.
Yes, what they like. Yeah.
And speaking of support doesn't always mean being a yes man too. Like, I feel like I love it when people come up to me, like, fun fact, there was a time where we shot this video for our party, right? We did, like, a recap video, and we put a really suggestive song as the like the playover for the audio and stuff like that. And I had people come up to me and say, like, hey, why? I don't think that song was appropriate if you guys are trying to be this kind of company. We stuck with it. We stood our ground. No, but it made us really think, like, okay, now we have to think about how we got to operate as a unit, you know? But if nobody gave us that feedback, we would have just continued to go out, you know, and do what we wanted to do with no kind of direction.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Because of that argument, it made us sort of check ourselves and be more sure about the things that we needed to do and work on.
Yeah, definitely.
So. I have a question based off of that. So how do you, it's hard not to get defensive when someone kind of comes up to you and says, hey, I didn't like this about what you did.
Yeah.
But it's important. How do you differentiate the people that you know are like, hey, in your best interest, I think this would be really a better option, versus the people that you think are just kind of there to, like, fuck with your head? Like, how do you know who to trust in those situations?
I don't.
That's honest. I like that.
I personally, because I trust, I mean, there are people who I do trust in terms of, like, their opinions, and it's just down to personal relationships. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I trust that they've been honest with me outside of, you know, my craft of building underscore, like, just coming to me as a person and having those one-on-ones, I'm going to know that anything that they say is going to be out of my best interest, you know? Like, they support me as a person. But there are some people who just hate. Like, it's just on some, like, I just didn't like it. And it's like, okay, if you didn't like it, do it your way.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I have a question. And it's about kind of like what we just talked about, like, surrounding yourself with the right people, because I believe you are the people who you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
So to a young creative, because you work with young creatives, how important is networking, like, through underscore and through other ways as well?
Networking is everything.
Boom. You, there it is. That's the answer I wanted.
Yeah, closed mouths do not get fed.
You just lob that one up.
Like, at all. Closed mouths don't get fed. If you don't say what your desires are, if you don't put that out into the atmosphere, nobody's going to help you, because nobody knows you need help.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's just like, and I know it's tough, like, especially if you're not a social person.
Yeah. Introverts. Yeah.
Yeah. And even extroverts, like, it's also hard to, like, just seem like you're in need that I don't understand why. 'Cause I mean, I too suffer from that, like, asking for help, but it's really good to ask for help.
Yeah.
And just be like, hey, do you think you know somebody who can,
like, yeah, ask questions. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sometimes it's good to be put on. You can't be putting everybody on, because then who's putting you on?
Yeah.
You know, that's how you get out of touch.
That's what I'm telling, like, people younger than me, like, don't be scared to ask questions and talk to people. Like, people at the end of the day are people. It doesn't matter what status they are. Like, they are a person. You know what I mean? And they were once in your shoes. So talk to them. Yeah. There's nothing a person likes more than talking about their success.
That's what I was going to say. 9 out of 10 times you're going to ask someone for help and they're going to be more than happy to help you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think people, it's just like their egos get in the way where they're like, oh, I don't want to ask. Like, I definitely have that problem where I'm just like, I don't want to seem desperate. I don't want to this, that. You know, but most of the time, if people are good humans, and I'm convinced that the world is generally good for the most part, and most people are good, they're going to want to help you, especially if it's something that they're an expert in.
Yeah.
If you can tap into their knowledge, if anyone were to ever come up to me and ask me, hey, how did you do this? That's such a compliment.
We had a girl yesterday literally DM me and be like, hey, I'm really interested in this podcast, like, and I want to make my own. Can you help me? And I was like, of course. Yeah. Like, why on earth would I say no, you know? And now she's making her own podcast, like, and we talked about her podcast and she used all this gear. Like, it was awesome. I just it was such a cool moment for me, especially for us, because we were like, we're helping people now, you know?
Yeah. And honestly, I think that's what's also important about networking, is that it's definitely like a relationship that gets developed.
Sure.
And on like the person that's trying to reach out, it helps to also solidify what your vision is or what your story is that you're trying to tell. As like anytime I network for Underscore, like I just have a more clear vision of how I want to present my company, how I pitch it to them, like, you know, the story that I'm trying to sell, and the things that I need. Like, how do you really know what you need if it stays in your head? Like, sometimes if you say it out loud, you're like, actually, maybe that didn't sound too good. You know, so thoughts in your head are very different versus when they're,
or someone could even steer you in a direction that you didn't know you needed to be steered in, and be like, oh, I think maybe you actually need this, and then you're like, oh fuck yeah, that's
I didn't even think about that.
It's a learning process.
I love that. But I want to ask you also about your experience with Forbes Under 30.
Okay,
so you were talking about, you know, how important it is to be surrounded by like-minded individuals. What was that experience like, being surrounded by people?
First of all, congrats.
First of all, that's fucking huge.
Thank you.
Like, that's such an accomplishment.
Yeah, you should
definitely be my highlight of senior year so far.
Of course.
When did you go?
It was last semester. I want to say it was in like October-ish or November.
Okay.
So cool.
One of those months.
I just want to know the whole, like, how did you find out about it? What was your reaction, your whole experience?
Yeah, so the CEO was attended the conference last year. He just got invited because he was networking. And someone put him in contact with the application like person, and so he signed up, applied to be a Forbes Under 30 scholar, got the honor, and went to the summit. And I was jealous of him, because I was like, wow, this dude is out here at Forbes meeting a bunch of really like-minded folks who are successful and further along in their path.
I was jealous of you. I was like, damn, he's really doing it. Yeah. So I feel that.
So, you know, I asked him, I was like, bro, how did you do it? Like, let me get there next year with you. Because
We're going to talk after this.
Yeah, like getting, because, you know, for real, like, I told him, you know, it was great that you were there, but I feel like if I was there with you, two people in this, like, who have the same vision going into the same place.
Yeah,
that's just powerful. More people in this, that's more spaces that we can occupy and like sort of test our story and our vision out. Second time came around, this year came around, and the application went live. I sent the wrong email first. And I just started panicking, because I was like, bro, I didn't get my school email. Can I like switch it or whatever? And he's like, yeah, of course. Don't worry. So also, if you mess up, it's totally okay to reach out and be like, hey, I totally botched the delivery.
Right.
Will you please give me a second chance? Like, people are people. Yeah. Like, they know that, you know, we're not machines and we can make mistakes. So anyway, I did the thing. My application took forever to be received. I thought I wasn't going. I didn't buy my ticket at all. And then like a week before, it was just because I was going to a homecoming in Atlanta for Spelman and Morehouse. And the conference was actually that weekend right after homecoming. So
wow.
It was like I was staying in Atlanta for the week, and then
that's a fast
turnaround. I made my way to Detroit, you know, that same week. So got there, and it was just a two-day experience where, I mean, it's really something else when you're just sitting around people who are under 30 listers, like when you're just speaking to the entrepreneurs that are making a feature that's really innovative, and just picking their brains. It was just a lot of picking their brains. Like I was definitely like a fly on the wall. Just I had a notebook with a pencil, and I probably filled up half my notes just, you know,
learning
really
good
gems.
See, your eagerness to like learn from others is so amazing. Like that. Some people can't put their ego aside and learn from other people the way, you know, like you do, like the way you fill up half a notebook. You know, like some people aren't that diligent to write down literally everything they hear that inspires them, you know? Yeah. That's awesome.
I mean, yeah, I'm confident that I know nothing. So it's just having that confidence to say like, okay, I don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
Makes everything else a lot easier, because then it's like, I can just write down what I need to write down, you know, take the nuggets that I appreciate and just work from there.
Well, and people like someone that's humble too. Yeah. I mean, I'm way more drawn to someone that's like, yeah, I'll be honest, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I'm here to learn, rather than someone's be like, no, I got it. It's like, you have to learn, especially in your 20s, like your early 20s, as you're jumping into the workforce, you have to know when to sit and listen and just
take it in
versus when you should speak up. And but that's a hard,
I need to work on that.
That's a hard line to kind of figure out. I think that just comes with time, but
it does.
But yeah, I'm sorry, continue.
I mean, no, you're spot on about that. Like, and I think for me it was really good to just get over myself and not feel intimidated by these under 30 listers.
Yeah.
And just tell myself like, listen, you're gonna be where they are.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully less than 10 years from now.
Yeah.
Because I still want to be on that under 30 list. That is definitely a goal that me and my CEO have, is to be on the under 30, like an official one. We're no longer scholars.
We're speaking it into existence right here.
Yeah, yes. This episode is
March
where we're
1st.
Tie it back. Dante Stewart and Eddie Hayes will be on the 30 under 30.
I just got chills.
I like that.
So yeah, like, you know, when I told myself that when I was there, I was just like, you know what? I got to ask them questions.
Yeah.
I got to see how they did it. I want to know everything. And it was so funny. I was waiting for this because there was a bunch of like panel discussions and stuff like that. But the under 30 listers are sitting next to you. So I'm like waiting in line with one of these dudes. His name is Bright Jaja, and he does this really cool thing in Africa for teaching, you know, Africans, really important computer skills, stuff like that.
Wow.
And it's like in several different countries in Africa. And I was just like, yeah, what motivated you to do that? And he was like, I was just tired of people who weren't looking like me, of people who looked like me, not being as successful as people who didn't look like me, you know? And so,
that's good motivation.
Yeah. We were just chatting it up. I asked him about his company. I started picking his brain about, cause he bootstrapped his own as well. And bootstrapping is just a term where you put your own resources into starting the company from scratch. But yeah, he bootstrapped it and just sort of built it into what it is. And he told me, he was like, yeah, it took a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of people telling me no, and a lot of, you know, your typical entrepreneur story of, you know, you're going to fail until you succeed. And even then, that's going to be followed by more failures.
Yeah.
So
that leads right into my next question. I guess, how do you stay motivated, like, when you get those no's and as a college student, like, what keeps you going? Obviously you're passionate about what you're doing, but like, ultimately what's like the end goal, you know?
Just seeing the vision. Like, I know what underscore is 5 years from now. I've already seen it.
What is it?
It's the biggest thing you'll ever see. Which is, you know, it's really going to be the creative industry. The creative industry is underscore. So we are going to corner that market, and we're going to handle the studios, the venues, the showcases, the creatives, the different disciplines. Like, all of that is gonna exist within that underscore space. We're not gonna have a hand in saying how it's gonna be done. We're gonna let them do that. But in terms of how those transactions and connections make place, because creatives don't really have an avenue that allows them to, you know, get the resources that they need for the residencies or the art galleries and stuff like that, you know? And we're trying to change it from a who you know to it's a who you know and also who you are.
Yeah.
So
I like that. That's so true. You know what? I'm like, I know a lot of people who, I guess not a lot of people, a couple people who work for labels, and like hearing them talk about like the music industry from a label standpoint is really interesting to me. I think labels were toxic at one point, like maybe a couple years ago. You know the artist JoJo?
Yeah.
So one of my favorite artists, she was under a contract for 10 years. She signed when she was 13.
Okay.
For 10 years, she couldn't release music, and the label went under, right? So she, none of her music was being released, and she basically lost every Everything. Chance of her yeah. ever being big until now. Now she's free, and she's, like, on the up again, and it makes me super happy. But it's just, like, it's crazy how toxic creatives, like, how toxic labels made life for creatives, some creatives. Yeah. Like, that is scary. Like, and I think... the fact that Underscore is going against that and kind of, not against it, but just starting a new,
power.
Yeah. Yeah, starting a new wave where the power is in the creative's hand, that has never been done before.
Yeah, man. And I mean, and that's what's so great about it is like, and that's what keeps me motivated is when I tell people the stories of like what we're doing right now and they're like, oh my gosh, it's so great. I just laugh in my head because I'm like, y'all don't even know what we have planned.
Yeah.
Yet. Like, wait until first off the money starts coming in so that we can actually do the things we want to do and, you know, expand our departments in the ways that we want to, not just be a team of five people, you know? That's the motivation, is understanding, is just having these goals in mind and the vision of what it is going to become. It trumps any no.
Yeah.
It always trumps any no. And I feel like as long as that feeling is better than, you know, my low points, I'm going to be all right. you know?
I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
I think this is a good wrap-up question.
Yeah.
What are some tips that you would give to people who are in starting their own business or starting their own, I mean, for us, it's
brand.
But yeah.
Just have a plan. I think you can't do anything without direction. And it's okay for plans to change, you know? Just make sure you have some outline of what your vision should be and, you know, execute it. You have to, execution is the most important. And I know it sounds crazy to say, like, execution, like, just do it. Like, no, but for real, like...
go through with it.
You have to follow through, because if you don't follow through, you're not feeding that vision. Mm-hmm. And you have to feed the vision. And the only way this vision gets fed is with energy and time.
Yeah.
And being patient with yourself.
Patience. That's something I lack. I want it right now. I want my success right now, and it's not going
to
happen.
You really have to fall in love with the process.
And
if you don't fall in love with the process, you're going to mess up. Because even if you do build it right away, it's going to collapse.
Right.
Nothing gets built and lasts for a long time.
You have to keep it afloat.
Exactly.
Well, I think that's too, like, you fall in love with the process. I think about that with other things too. I think about that with, like, we talked about this in fitness and stuff. You're not going to get to a point where suddenly you're just like, okay, I'm done. I did it. Like, you have to constantly, if you want it bad enough, it's going to constantly evolve. It will constantly change. And that is a good thing.
I heard a really good quote from, like, I was doing market research on, like, other companies and what their growth engines were like. And Jeff Bezos, I know.
I know.
No, he's the richest man in the world for a reason.
Right.
And his motto was, we treat every day like it's day one.
Ah, I like that.
Like, every day, like, it's the first day the company's founded. Like, you have to have that hustle and that drive to just innovate and push yourself. Because the second you start slipping into day two, you know, you stagnate yourself.
Yeah,
and you're not separating yourself from the competition. So,
yeah, you got to want it every day.
It's got to be as hectic as it was when you first started this podcast. Like, you got to be that. As hectic as it was when you're, like, doing any new project. Like, never get comfortable with where you are.
Yeah.
Always think that there's something more out there.
It's like the 10X. Have you heard of the 10X conference? Oh, we're going to go together next year. Okay, it just happened, but next year we're going.
Putting it into existence.
Yes. No, I'm serious. All three of us are going. It's basically like the idea that you need to think of what you're doing as, like you said, you know the future, 5 years of Underscore. You need to think 10 times more than what you think you're capable of and what your company is or your brand is capable of. Think 10 times more and then you'll get there, you know? Yeah. And then surpass that, hopefully.
Yeah, push your limits.
10X. We're going.
We're going.
We're going. It's all right. Done.
We're going. It's just going to happen.
Any other words of advice? Like, I literally have learned so much in this life.
Words of advice? No, man. I'm still trying to figure it out, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I'm 22, and I'm, you know, also trying to just live my life. And I think that's also important, too. I dedicate a lot of time to Underscore, yes, but I also find things that I still enjoy outside of Underscore. Like,
that's full circle. That was like your first question, dude. Yeah.
Do
you have time for yourself?
Yeah, no, yes, for real. Like,
that's important.
I mean, there are things that I'm definitely doing on campus that's for Underscore. Like, we're shooting a show for creatives on campus.
Can I be on that?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's
networking.
Collab.
There you go.
Collab network like that.
You know what? For real. Because because we want to start getting media content out there now and more film-based stuff. Mm. So this is a show that I've been working on. And that's for another day. We could talk about that after the podcast.
Right.
But outside of that, you know, I still play my video games. I still hang out, get drunk, get lit, have fun with people.
So. Got to. We're young. We got to have these memories.
Yeah, man. I'm not trying to lose my college experience just because I have a job.
You have a job. I like that.
I got a job, man. I'm employed. I'm self-employed, but I'm employed.
You're employed. Mm-hmm. Well, and just like everything, I feel like almost all of our episodes end this way in some way. It's all about striking up a healthy balance in your life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. And you got to see what works for you, like physical,
it's trial
mental,
and error. Spiritual. Well, let me try that again. Trial and error.
Like that, right there.
Yeah, there you go. If at first you don't succeed, try again.
Me and Mara have been having like speaking issues for the past week. It's been
tough,
weird.
Man.
Amen. Trust me, I understand. My brain doesn't work sometimes.
It's a little scrambled at the moment.
Well, thank you so much, Dante. Like, this was such a good episode.
It's my pleasure.
You've got some serious wisdom. It's pretty crazy. I have so many quotes written down.
She's been typing this whole time.
Yeah,
I feel
excited.
Just clacking away.
Yeah. No, you're incredible.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed to be in your presence.
Honestly, so many people look up to you. I hope you know that. Like, one of my gifts is to tell people like how other people view them and tell them their gifts. And one of your gifts is a lot of people look up to you and a lot of people just give you so much love. So thank you for all you do for others. And
appreciate you guys for bringing me on the show and giving Underscore more exposure.
Of course.
Y'all are great for that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a huge supporter since day one.
Like, that's true. Hey, she's not lying. She's been about it since day one.
That's right. Because I just, when I read what you were doing, I was like, this is the shit. Like, this is awesome. Because also, you know, I'm a musician myself.
Yeah.
You know, like, if that existed like 10 years ago, that'd be a different story.
We'd all be in different places.
Exactly.
Mm. We'd all be in different places.
Crazy to think about.
So. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Close it out.
Yeah, I'll do it with you guys.
Okay.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Go first.
So, you may not have your shit figured out,
but that's okay.
This is your 20s.
Hey.
Bye, y'all. See you next
time. Bye.